But persevering, doing something in the face of adversity. What would you do if your boss, if you work, came to you and said, if you do that again, and it's something you thought very strongly about, you felt was right, if you do that again, I'm going to fire you. The book of Joshua. Joshua, pretty well-known character in the Old Testament. As my first slide says up here, he was the successor of Moses. Can anybody tell me why he was the successor of Moses? Why didn't Moses continue? Right? And why not?
Because he took credit for something instead of giving it to God.
Okay. So Moses didn't do what God told him to do. He was not allowed to go into the promised land. And so the successor of Moses was Joshua. So the book of Joshua was written about 1410, between 1410 and 1350 B.C. Short book, only 24 chapters, I think it is, if I'm not mistaken. Obviously written by Joshua, and some of the scholars will say it's written by some other people. After Joshua died, they added some things to the writings, and these were supposedly senior members of leadership during that period of time. And basically, it's a book of history. It's a book that's written for the Israelite nation, and its focus is on Joshua's tenure, his term, as he leads the children of Israel into the promised land and conquers the land of Canaan. So that's kind of the bottom line, what this book is all about. If you look at how the book is divided up, if you look at chapters 1, first chapter, verse 1, through the 5th chapter, verse 15, it's the preparation of Israel for the entry into the conquest of Canaan. And then about chapter 6, they begin the conquest of Canaan, and that continues through the 12th chapter, about the 24th verse. Then it moves into chapter 13, all the way to chapter 21, verse 45, is where they were dividing up the land of Canaan for each of the tribes of Israel. In fact, if you have a Bible, you can probably look back in the back of your Bible, there'll be some maps. And probably one of those maps will be a map that shows the division of the land of Canaan into the various tribes. And then chapter 22 is kind of an interesting couple of chapters toward the end of the book of Joshua, because it's Joshua's farewell and his death. And so it's his charge to the people of Israel at that time. And there are some very poignant verses in those chapters that we'll get to, but it'll be a few weeks before we do that. But as you look at the handout that you have, the topical areas that we'll be covering, I'm going to be talking about Joshua's courage today. And then next week, Richard will be talking about how Joshua handled failure and success. There's a good lesson in that for us. We all experience failures in our life, and we all have successes in our life. So how do we handle those types of things? On May 8th, Richard will continue talking about Joshua's building of his faith, how that faith was strengthened over the years. On May 15th, I'll come back and talk about how Joshua listened to God, and maybe somehow we tend to listen today. May 22nd, I think we're going to flip topics that from what you have on your sheet. I think Richard's going to be talking about the conquering of enemies. We all have enemies. They say we have enemies foreign and domestic. Well, we have enemies internal to us. We have enemies external. Well, how did Joshua handle conquering enemies? And then I believe the last topic will be, I'm not sure of the sequence of those last two, but I believe the last topic will be a kind of a summary of Joshua's leadership of the children of Israel. So that's kind of where we're headed over the next few weeks. Hopefully you can join us each Sunday. And if you get a sense, if you can read 24 chapters, that's a short book to read. So might be helpful if you read the book of Joshua sometime the next week or so, kind of give you a heads up on what we're doing. So we're going to be talking about courage. So if you look at the first chapter of Joshua, as I read the first chapter of Joshua, some things stuck out in my mind. So if you have your Bible, flip over to the first chapter of Joshua. And first of all, let's go down to the sixth verse. So in the sixth verse, there's God's command, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." So there's a command here to be strong and courageous. In the very next verse, in the seventh verse, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." So the first command to be courageous had to do with him leading others. The second command to be very courageous was in obeying the law. Then you go down to verse 9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Courage from internal, courage from inside him as he approached the various challenges of his life. And in the last verse of that same chapter, in the 18th verse, "Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." So when he is facing challenges, be strong and courageous. So I've got some questions that I want to ask you, and I'd like for you to share your answers. So we'll put Monty to work here. The first question is, what is courage? How would you define courage?
To stand up for what you believe, regardless of what is being said. If you believe that it's true in that, courage is to be standing up for yourself and for your beliefs.
Okay. So standing up for what you believe in the face of challenges, in the face of fear that you might have. Anybody else? What is courage? Okay.
When I was out driving over the road, there was some scary times. And at a truck stop, one day I saw a truck, and it was an owner-operator. And on the back of it was airbrushed, a big cow skull. And it said, "Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway."
Okay. In the face of fear, you still do what you know to do. Okay? So here's an interesting second question. The second question is, I don't have to change slides. The second question is, can you get courage because somebody commands you to? In this case, in four instances in the first chapter of Joshua, God commanded Joshua, be strong and courageous. He was commanding him to be courageous. So if I stand up here this morning and I say, I want every one of you this week to be courageous, I am commanding you to be courageous. Can you do that? Bill?
It's been proven in history, throughout history, in the military especially, leadership can provide courage in withstanding certain situations through their men. So I'd say leadership definitely can give leadership, can definitely can cause courage among the individuals that they're commanding.
Okay, what does, don't take away the mic from him. I'm going to follow up that question. What does leadership have to do if they want their followers, their troops, to have courage?
Well, the leadership is in situations where they are the leader, the commander, and when they show that they are courage and they believe in what they're doing, that transfers over onto the men themselves or the other people.
Okay, so you use the word when they show something, when they show that they have that courage.
Right.
So that leader is demonstrating courage, so the followers of that leader will have courage as well. We had another question. Yeah. Another comment.
Joshua had the prime example in following Moses and seeing what God has done. Joshua physically seen what God accomplished through Moses, and that, so that gave him an abundant amount of courage. But there were times where Joshua did have a question mark in his mind because he was a human.
Okay. You know, you think about that period of time. The children of Israel are traveling through the wilderness. They get the Ten Commandments. Moses goes up into the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. He actually sees the back of God. You know, to me, that'd give me some courage. I have literally seen the back of God as he passed by, the crack in the rock. Griff, Monty?
I believe that courage is really an action word. We might think of it as a noun, but I think when you look at it, it is an action word. It takes action to show courage.
Okay.
No action, no courage.
Okay.
That's your grammar lesson for today.
Fine. I need a grammar lesson. I think when, oh, here we go. Mickey's got a question.
Every day we are seeing a wonderful example of being strong and courageous in Ukraine.
Okay, all right. But generally speaking, when you think about courage, it is taking the appropriate action even when you are afraid. All of us have things that we fear. All of us have things that happen to us in our lives that cause us to be afraid of something. We're going to look at some examples here in a minute. But it's taking the appropriate action even in the face of fear, even when we are afraid. Now, in many cases, that third question, what are some examples of where we act courageous even in the face of fear? Let's go to the next slide and look at some examples. So feeling fear yet choosing to act. Have you ever seen a child taking his or her first steps? You know, for a long time when my girls were growing up and they were little, I don't know, sometime one and a half, 2 years old, sometime in that time frame. I'm not sure exactly when they took their first steps, but it's written down in a book that my wife kept somewhere. But when they took that first step, you know, you would set them down, and immediately they'd sit out on the floor. And then they'd kind of stand up, and they were kind of wobbly, and they'd take that first step, and it was obvious that there was some fear in their eyes. Because they'd reach out to try to hang on to you as they took to give them some courage, to give them some strength. My grandson, several years ago, he's 10 now. But when he was 3 or 4 years old, we put him in a swimming pool. And he was afraid of the pool, afraid of the water. And you start to set him down in the water, and you kick his feet, and you start crying. Well, something happened during that period of time, because he's like a fish now. He'd rather be in the water than walking around on land. But he overcame that fear. So choosing to act, choosing to do something, even when you are afraid, and we've all done that. Learning to drive, learning any new thing. How about taking a new job and you're afraid you're going to fail? But you choose to stay, you choose to put forth the effort, you choose to learn, and you become competent and skilled at doing something that you didn't know how to do before. I remember the first time, and Monty can remember this, I'm sure, in his own life. We were both college professors. I remember walking into that class for the first time and thinking, my goodness, I've got 50 minutes. How can I fill up this 50 minutes? I probably had a stack of notes an inch thick. And I got through about two pages and I was done. The time was gone. And I thought, there's a different challenge here than the one I expected. But I was afraid. I had fear. How are they going? Are they going to think I know what I'm talking about? And so you have to demonstrate that in some way. A second source of courage is following your heart. One example that I thought of, in fact, I just heard this yesterday. I don't know how many of you ever listened to the, they replay the top 40 songs from certain years on XM radio. And I was listening to Casey Kasem yesterday as he was talking about, there's one of the songs that Olivia Newton-John was singing. Some of you who are old as me remember Olivia Newton. She's still singing and still does a good job. But her grandfather was a physicist by the name of Max Born. And where I lived in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, I mean, that's a revered name because he and numerous people, Einstein and Oppenheimer and people like that, are people, the physicists who figured out how to split the atom and have done all sorts of things scientifically as a result of being able to do that. Well, she was a high school student in Australia, and she dropped out of high school. Her father was the headmaster of a school, college graduate. Her mother was a college graduate. Her grandfather, Max Born, the esteemed physicist, Nobel Prize winner, and she drops out of school. Moves to England to be a singer. I'm sure she didn't get a lot of encouragement. I don't know how her parents responded to that. But that was a real different path. Really different path that she was taking compared to what she had been exposed to, you know, her entire life. But she followed her heart. And in that profession, vocal profession, became very successful. The third one there is persevering in the face of adversity. You know, you ever heard of the Jimmy V Foundation? You know, Jimmy Valvano, the basketball coach, North Carolina State, won a national championship one time, was stricken with lung cancer, and in his probably last speech that he ever gave at an award ceremony is when he said, never, 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 never give up. I said that two or three times. That stuck with me at that time. It stuck with a lot of other people because as a result of that, the Jimmy V Foundation was created. But this week I read of a more modern example of that. A guy named Joe Kennedy. I was reading an article on the internet about some of the Supreme Court decisions that are coming up in the next term. And one of them is about Joe Kennedy, who was a football coach in Bremerton, Washington, just outside of Seattle. And following every game, he would take a knee in the center of the field and say a prayer. It was voluntary. You know, other coaches, the players could join him if they wanted to, but he took a knee in the center of the field and said a prayer. School told him not to do that. He did it anyway. Ultimately, they didn't say he was fired. They said his contract was not renewed. And so he filed suit. That was 2015, and now 7 years later, ultimately, that case is making it to the Supreme Court. And they have accepted it, and they're going to be making some sort of ruling on that. The ruling will probably come out sometime this summer. But persevering, doing something in the face of adversity. What would you do if your boss, if you work, came to you and said, if you do that again, and it's something you thought very strongly about, you felt was right, if you do that again, I'm going to fire you. I don't know. You know, I've got a wife and kids to feed, house payment to make, car payments to make. If you do that again, I'm going to fire you. And you know what you were doing was right. I don't know what I would do. I hope I know what I would do, but not totally sure until you get to that particular point. Standing up for what's right. Back in the 1950s, there was a huge upheaval in this country around the impact that communism was having around the world. And there was a lot of accusations flying about back and forth about this person, that person, so forth, was a communist sympathizer. And Margaret Chase Smith, who was a senator from Maine at the time, gave a speech on the floor of the Senate, and the speech was entitled A Declaration of Conscience, where she talked about what we have to be like in a democracy and what we have to be like as we relate to and work with and debate these issues with each other. I think we might ought to hear that speech again in today's world with how polarized we are. But she was standing up for what she felt like was right. Expanding your horizons, letting go of the familiar. I can't help but think about, you watch these television shows, the westerns and so forth, of settlers getting in those covered wagons and heading west. To what? They didn't know. They just headed west. Unfamiliar territory. Unknown what's out there, what challenges, what threats were out there. But they still took their families and all their personal goods, they put them in the back of a wagon and headed west, not knowing what the future would hold. That's expanding horizons. That took courage. And finally, facing suffering with dignity or death. You know, you look at the struggles that a lot of people have with their health and how so often you see people that face that with dignity. You think of all the apostles. All of them but one died a violent death. You know, these were the closest friends, the closest followers, the closest associates Jesus had. But to live the life that they lived in the land where they lived took unbelievable courage. So, do you have other examples, other thoughts? And I've given you several examples there. What other examples do you have of sources of courage, where you see courage exemplified? Then up here to Bill's next.
Okay. Working in healthcare, especially during the COVID pandemic, there was a lot of changes made to policy and to practice. And with so much information pouring in from different parts of the world and different scientists and stuff like that about how you treat COVID and, you know, the signs and symptoms, you know, everything was constantly changing from day to day. So as a nurse practitioner, to get up every day to go to the ER or to be working in primary care and not know what kind of room I'm going to be going into, or walk in with the knowledge that every person I see today may be a COVID positive patient, and how that's going to affect me and my family. But true to my heart was, you know, caring for patients. That's what I was born to do, and that's what I love to do. So you have to have courage in those situations when you don't know the outcome, or when you know there could be possible, you know, several different outcomes.
Exactly. And I should have thought of that. That's something very recent that we have seen up close and personal with our healthcare workers going into facilities not knowing what they were going to see when they walked in, not knowing what they were going to take home to their family. And how many times, and I'm sure you've had this experience, but how many times were those folks unable to help the people who were struggling, and ultimately those people passed away, and the weight that places on a person's shoulders and on their mind as they have to work in and live in that environment day after day after day. Money.
I like what she said there. I have a healthcare worker I've been living with for quite a while, and I appreciate you folks, but it's if I add to that, it's courage to serve in the face of unknown adversity. And I think our healthcare workers do that every day. It's not just COVID, but you walk in and you have someone who is very ill. You don't know what it is, you're diagnosing it, or they've been diagnosed, sort of, but you're working through treatment, hoping that things are going to get better. But there's a courage to face that uncertainty, knowing that that's what I need to do. And it isn't just medicine, but that's a great example, I think.
Absolutely. Bill had a comment here.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's a great example in recent times about this pandemic. And now, you know, because not only we were questioned in every corner about this because of different viewpoints, you know, we became very skeptical, and that became us having courage to make our own decisions. And now it's even more decisions made. But what I was going to say, other than that, I think that one of the courageous courage individuals in my lifetime that I've seen was the movement of civil rights movements in the United States with Martin Luther King. I really, just reading about that and being part of that in my youth, that was just unbelievable how courageous. And they did this with pure love.
Yeah. Other examples? Oh, here's one. Nancy's got one.
Ladies first. I think of our own eldership. And when we think about the pandemic and everything shut down and we were all at home and doing our best to worship from home, the pivot that they took to try and bring the best possible virtual experience that they possibly could was a reflection of a great deal of courage. And then to realize that the longer we all stayed home, the more damage was being done to us, that as we were alone, susceptible to Satan's attacks, we were going to suffer more than if we all faced this pandemic and got ourselves back in this building. And that was a huge act of courage on their part because of the fact that they were taking on ownership of people coming in and possibly being exposed to something that may or may not make them sick. But at the same time, weighing that against the fact of the very clear knowledge that people need to be together. We need to worship together. And balancing that act, that was a huge step out by our eldership.
Yes. People in a leadership role over the past two or three years, have had an exceptionally difficult time. Another one.
I won't do it justice, but I think it was the group of 300. A friend gave me the movie 300 here years ago, and
it's a biblical story, and I don't know if it's true, the movie, in detail or not, but the time when God would command his people to go take over armies, and it's not too many, and they drank the water, the ones that lapped it up, and the ones that cupped their hands, and that way, and I think our eldership is a small group, a representation of our body here, and sometimes we don't need a mass to go, you don't need 1,000 people to go kill 3, you need 3 to go kill 1,000, and you see God's power in that, and that's what God was using back in the day in the Old Testament times, and people are the same today as they were thousands of years ago. So sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, when small groups of people change the minds of our leadership, the Supreme Court, here is a gentleman, even there's a Supreme Court going on today with Roe versus Wade, and the appointments that we, our politicians, have made, and how important our vote is to command men and women that will express courage in our social media today, whether it be gay and lesbian, you know, activity, whether it be homosexuality, whether it be abortion. That's, to speak against that today is certainly not popular. But is it popular or important, or is God's ways important? And our society has placed importance on what we believe, not what God believes. And we see people have to stand up against the mob of the social media mob, or what they believe mob. And Disney's going through that right now. Disney's had the upper hand for many years, and they've abused that upper hand. They've not used God's laws. They've used man's laws to guide their way. And I hope that courageous people, a few, or I would hope thousands, stand up against what's wrong with Disney and what they've done with the power that they've been given. They've abused that power. And we've seen that historically in God's word, people that have abused power, whether it be the kings of Israel or other people of that time.
You know, it's interesting to see how, as years go on, things which universally was accepted as wrong 30, 40, 50 years ago, because a number of people accepted it and promoted it and encouraged it, now it's become, it's not wrong anymore, it's a matter of choice. I don't think that changes what's right or wrong. It's how we respond into that. And if you talk about something that takes courage, you know, having that conversation. Yeah, I have that conversation with my grandsons. That's not the same message they get at school. It's not the same message they get from their friends. And so I don't preach to them. I say, you know, you need to be thinking about some things. Yes?
There's an example in the news today about individual courage. A policeman came upon the fire in an apartment building and saw a mother and her child on the third floor. And he climbed up the outside of the building to get to the child. When he got to the second floor, he couldn't, so his buddy helped him out. So here you have both of, like Joshua. You have him taking the initiative, and when he couldn't make it, his buddy helped him out so he could get it, and they saved the child and the parents.
Yes.
It's in the news today.
Yeah, there was a, yesterday there was in the news where a young person lost control of his car and drove into a canal in Miami, and his friend, who was driving was 18, but the one who was not driving was 17, was close by and saw what was happening, jumped into the water to try to save him, and both of them died. I mean, there's some danger of doing that. You know that. There's fear associated with that, but that's my friend. I'm going in after him. And so those examples that we see, you know, they're on the news. They're headlined because, why are they headlined? It's because demonstrated courage is becoming less and less prominent, less and less frequent in our society. So we're going to turn the corner here just a second.
Take a look at General MacArthur and see what he had to do. You take a look at Gary Powell and see what he went through and what have you. Those are signs of courage.
Yes.
And determination.
Absolutely.
In that, trying to do the right thing.
So in the next couple of sections there of your handout, I've listed two sources. One of them has 6 types of courage. That came from Heidi Bransby, who was a coach who wrote about courage. And then in Psychology Today, there was a listing of four different types of courage. I want to talk about those very briefly, and then I want to conclude, because we only got about 8 minutes left. I want to conclude with a verse from Joshua that demonstrates what we've been talking about. So when you look at the types of courage that people exemplify in their lives, Heidi in her article said there's six of them. One of them is physical courage, and that's in the face of extreme situations. You exhibit resiliency. You are balanced in how you approach the task at hand. You're aware of what's going on around you. That's something called physical courage. And then there's social courage, where you choose to be yourself unapologetically. Someone asks you if you're a Christian. How forceful do you answer that question? I think some people don't answer it as forcefully, maybe, as they should. There's moral courage, doing the right thing, even when it's uncomfortable. That takes courage. Emotional courage, being willing to feel your emotions, not having guilt attached to those, but feeling what you feel for other people. Intellectual courage. You learn, you unlearn, you relearn. You enter situations with open and flexible minds. And then the final one she talked about was spiritual courage. And that's living with purpose. Having a meaning in your life through a heart-centered approach. And if the guide that you use is the Bible, you know, you could rephrase that and say living with purpose and meaning through a Bible-centered approach. Because if you talk about truth, when you talk about reality and basing your actions and your courage on things that are true and real, it doesn't get any more true, any more real than what the pages of the Bible talk about. And then in Psychology Today, there was four types of courage that they mentioned. One of them was moral courage, and I'm not going, there you are. Four types of courage. Moral courage they defined as standing up and acting when injustices occur, human rights are violated, or when persons are treated unfairly. I think the Bible teaches that in spades. Standing up for people who are less fortunate than we are. Then intellectual courage, similar to what Heidi was talking about. Challenging old assumptions and acting to make changes based on new learnings, understandings, and insights gleaned from experience and or educational research. You learn things. I don't live my life today the way I lived it 20 years ago. Why? I think it's because I've learned more and more about what this says about how I should live my life. And when you immerse yourself in the teachings of what this book says, that's new learnings. And every day, boy, that's something I should think about. That's something I should do. I can be a better person if I do that. The third one is disciplined courage. Remaining steadfast, strategic, and deliberate in the face of inevitable setbacks and failures for the greater good. We're going to see in the next few weeks where Joshua did that all the time. And that's why God, I think, commanded him, and we'll revisit that in just a second, but that's why God gave him different commands to be courageous, but each of those commands was in a different context. And finally, she talked about empathetic courage. Acknowledging that we have personal biases and intentionally moving away from them in order to experience the trials and triumphs of other people. Putting yourself in the place of other people. So when you look at that first chapter of Joshua, as we kind of finish up this morning, That sixth verse says, be strong and courageous because you will lead people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. You're going to be doing something, Joshua, in a leadership capacity, and you're going to need courage to do that. So I'm commanding you to be courageous in those situations. And then he changes his tone. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Maintain that pattern of behavior, that actions, the life that you know that God wants you to live. So in the first place, here's something you're going to do, Joshua. Be courageous as you do it. The second situation here is maintain that internal courage, because you're going to be challenged internally. And then verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Joshua, you're going to be afraid. You're going into a land to conquer that land. And as you go into that land, you're going to be faced with battle after battle after battle. I didn't count them, but there's a dozen different battles listed on that map in the back of my Bible that the Israelites fought as they conquered the land of Canaan. Do you think Joshua was afraid? Of course he was. Some of those nations were known because of how fearsome they were in battle. And you get down to the 18th verse, whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your command, only be strong and courageous. People are going to be challenged. So how did Joshua respond to that? And I'll conclude with this morning. We're going to come back to this verse numerous times over the next few weeks, because in the 24th chapter, in the 15th verse, is a verse that I think that all of us, if we can take this to heart, all of us can find strength and courage like Joshua did, you know, in his comments. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, he's talking here to the children of Israel, because, you know, they kind of waffled back and forth. They wanted to serve the gods. They wanted to create idols. They wanted to do all sorts of things because the people around them were doing those types of things. Joshua says, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I don't think there's a more powerful verse in the entire Bible than that verse. And I hope that as we proceed in talking about Joshua, now he dealt with leadership and fear and failure and success and those types of things, we'll see that that thought in his mind guided his path. That was his objective. That was his mission. That was his vision. That was his set of core values as he dealt with people in a leadership capacity. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank you.